we're going over again this morning, though. We're going to look back this morning, and I titled this series I'm doing is Be Led by the Spirit. It's really as a command, because I tell you what, you need to be led. There's no other way than to be led by the Spirit of God if you're going to walk and make it as a Christian today. And we will use a scripture, we use a foundational scripture, and really we've been sort of not getting far off from that foundational scripture in Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter. You know, Romans, the 8th chapter is one of those chapters in the Bible that you could probably preach for a year or so and stay in that chapter and have so many, because there's so many things it hits on that are so wonderful that you could, I mean, just good stuff that's in that chapter, so full of so many things. But we're looking here, where we were reading in Romans, the 8th chapter and verse 12, we're going to read down through it. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, and that's what he's talking about. When he's talking about the flesh, he's talking about the body, your body. If you got a body like my body, it wants to do things that it shouldn't do. He said, you will live. And remember this, he's writing to Christians. This is not written in the world. This is not a general thing. He is not talking about life, physical life. He's talking about spiritual life. He's not talking about physical life. It is spiritual life. You're a born again child of God. You might be born again, but your body is, the Bible tells us, it's decaying, isn't it? You know, if Jesus tarries, we'll all die one day. So he couldn't be talking about here that if you put to death the deeds of the body, he's talking you're going to live forever, because nobody's going to live forever. I mean, it ain't going to, from that standpoint, it's not going to happen. We will one day, as from the physical body, as we know it, cannot live forever. It can't do it. It has the nature of death in it, and it's in a decay. But the inner man is being renewed day by day. Now, one day, we're going to take on a new life. This body is going to be changed. As it is, it can't continue. As it is, but one day it will be changed. When Jesus returns, there's some that are not going to die. But the reason they're not going to die is because their body is going to be changed from a physical body to a spiritual body. It's not going to be running on, you know, like flesh and blood as we know. It will have flesh, but it's not going to be maintained by blood and things pumping through it and eating and things like we think about and doing. It's not going to be run in that manner. So he wasn't talking about that, but we need to understand from a spiritual standpoint. He's talking, writing to believers, if you keep over here living and keep living in the flesh and keep letting the flesh dominate you, it can take you to spiritual death. It's a warning to us. It's a warning. Don't do that. You're not a debtor to that, but you're a debtor, is what he talks about here then. Because he said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And what he's talking about here is, it doesn't mean that you're not a person, is not a child of God who has gotten born again, who's not led by the Spirit. But he's saying, being led by the Spirit, you're a son of God. People who are led by the Spirit is one thing you know, that person knows. If you're led by the Spirit, you know that you're a son of God. You know it. People who are not led by the Spirit, they don't have a spiritual consciousness that they're a child of God. They have no spiritual consciousness of that. If you're not in contact, if you can't come in contact with the Spirit of God, how would you know? Well, the Bible says, well, the Word says so. I'm interested in what the Word says, but I want to experience it. See, this is a great failure of faith teachers, a lot of them. And a lot of people, they think just because all they're just satisfied is the Bible said it. I want to experience it. You need to go from beyond to where faith, where it goes into manifestation. This is where I went by faith and got saved. Now I want the manifestation of the Holy Ghost in my life by knowing Him, to know that I'm a child of God, and not just because a scripture said so. See, people say, well, the Bible, fine. It's good to yell and say the scripture said so when you're standing in the place of faith. But you know, there's one day, it's just like with healing. I might believe I'm healed because the Bible said so, but I want to come to the day that I feel it in my body, don't I? And then I say, what this? I know I'm healed. I know it. Why? Because I've experienced it. I've experienced that one, you know? I got it. You want to come to that. Well, see, people don't. Everybody today, you know, they're walking around, they just say by faith. But there's a reality of God. And this is where being led by the Spirit, God becomes a reality. God's not some foreign, out there kind of thing, and I'm blindly following a book. He's a living God. He's alive. He's real. He's tangible. He's touchable. He can manifest Himself. He can reveal Himself to you. He can be as real. It's like Kenneth Hagin said, and I've said this before, and when the first time I heard him said it, boy, I thought, man, I want to get to where he's at. He said, God is more real to me than my wife laying in the bed beside me. He said, God's more real to me. I said, man, that's where I want to go, where God is more real to me than the things around me. I want to go there. And praise God, I've gotten there. God is so real. I can look now at things around me and I can say, my God, there's God. I don't care what man does. I don't care what happens. I know there's a God. Why? I have experienced God. I don't just have information. And this is one of the things that Randall Greer was talking about. Today we have an informational church. It's not revelational. Men have not experienced God. They're just talk about Him in the book. Thank God for the book, but the book was given to you so you could experience God. That's why the book was given to you. So God would become real to you. So you could come in contact and the Holy Ghost would take these things off of this page and make them real in your life. Hallelujah. Where you know that you're a child of God. Go over and read what John. John does, says, you know you passed from death unto life. He don't say, I believe I passed from death unto life. John don't talk that way. John says, we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Go look through, read 1 John and tell me, look at how many times he said, he talks about what he know, what we know. We know, we know, we know. Why? He's talking about what we have experienced, what we have come to. Hallelujah. God's real to us. Hallelujah. God's real to me. And that's what changed everything. Hallelujah. You'll find people who are just informational. God's not real to them. God's not. Yet they know the scriptures, they know the things, and they talk about the things, but they have not experienced God. You want to experience God. That's why being led by the Spirit is so important. Be led by the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wants God. He wants Jesus real to you. He don't want him some guy that you read the story. He died one day on a cross. He was rose from one day. I'm going to tell you, he'll bring to the place where you see yourself in his death, burial, and resurrection. You see yourself seated at the right hand of God in heavenly places. When the devil comes along and pulls his junk, you see yourself as the victor. Hallelujah. You see yourself as in charge and have the authority of heaven. You see yourself in that way. Hallelujah. Why? Because you run into Jesus. The Holy Ghost took Jesus and He made Him real to you. Hallelujah. It's not information about Him. Hallelujah. It's a life that is lived. And that's what God wants to be. Hallelujah. I get over in these scriptures and I tell you, I just can't. Man, they just turn me on out here lately. You know, God told me to go over teaching these things, and every time I get over these scriptures, it's like, whoa! Hallelujah. They're good. They're good. Hallelujah. But for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Hallelujah. See, I want to know that I'm a son of God, not because it says it on a page. Hallelujah. I want to know my Father. I come to the place that I know that He knows me. Hallelujah. It's not just nice words on a page. It's a reality. Hallelujah. It's a reality. He said, for why you didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption where we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. God is our Father. He's our daddy. Hallelujah. See, you're to know God as a daddy. Most of the Christian world knows God as God. He's God. You know, the untouchable one. Paul said, if you learn to get led by the Spirit, He becomes daddy to you. He's your daddy. He's your daddy. If God's not daddy to you, you haven't been led by the Spirit enough yet. He's got to come to the point. It's like me, I've come to the point, I know my daddy is love. You know, I don't care what goes on. God wants good for Ed. I don't care how Ed would act like a knucklehead or do the dumb thing. God's intent is to bless Ed. God will do everything He can to keep Ed in line. He'll do anything to try to keep me, to bless me. He wants to. He don't want to ever throw me out. But see, you got to you come through it. If you don't experience God, you don't know that. You wouldn't know that. if it's just on a page. That's why people's like, it's so easy to get into condemnation when you miss it. When you miss it, because if He is God, then you just see a judge. He is all those things. But you know, like we were singing this morning about knowing the depth of His love. My God, if you don't know that, and all you know is, you know, the big things you know is about the judgment and all these other things. You know, that's what you don't really know Him. And then when you read those things will make Him something out of proportion of what He really is. It's knowing, we want to know the depth of the love of God. We want to experience it. You can't experience it mentally, but the Holy Ghost can lead you and take you in it where you, those things that the depths of you can't imagine with your mind, you can comprehend with your heart or your inner man or your spirit. Your spirit can comprehend all kinds of things that your mind can't comprehend, that your mind can't grasp. There's things that I know in my spirit that God has shown me. I can't explain it to people. There's things I've experienced in the spirit. I could tell you somewhat about it, but I really can't tell you. There's no words. There's no human thing. There's nothing the mind could relate to experience. You know, back in 1989, when Jesus came into my car out in Oklahoma, and He came into my car, and that holiness, that purity, to this day, whenever I hear the word holy or purity, it no longer, you know, people can go around and tell me what the Greek says. They ain't got a clue. The Greek cannot explain the holiness of God nor the purity of God. When Jesus came into my car, I knew it was. I knew it was holiness. I knew it was pure. It was tangible. In the realm of the Spirit, it ain't a word written in a book. It's a person. And I don't know how to explain it. It came into the car. I had never experienced anything like it. And I'll tell you what, my flesh felt so unclean. My flesh, and you know, because your flesh is dead in sin. My flesh could not stand it in His presence. Now my heart wanted to respond to Him. But my flesh, wow, my heart's righteous with God. My heart's, this old dead flesh, that's why you couldn't carry this old dead flesh to heaven. It'd die getting there. It couldn't stand it. It couldn't stand it. And my flesh recoiled in fear. Why? Because that holiness, that purity, it's just, and there's not words. I mean, I wish I had words I could tell people what it was like. But you can't. It's something that can't be comprehended. There's nothing in the natural to compare it to. There's nothing in the natural that I would even see that around that would ever even, what you could say, well, it'd be something like this. No, it wouldn't. I've tried over time of that thing. But see, it's the holiness of God. And see, when you experience things, and you know, God wants you to experience things with Him. You're not supposed to go through life hearing it from preachers and you not having it. I don't want to hear it from, when I heard Brother Hagin telling his stories, I made this decision. God, if I can't have them, I ain't going to bother listening to it. I go sit around and listen to people's experience. What do I care? You know? I want to experience something in my life. I want somebody always telling me what God's like. I'd sure like to know sometime. You know? I want to experience. And God wants you to experience Him. You should have a desire. The Holy Spirit wants you to experience God. How can Jesus become alive to you and real to you if He's only words on a page? How can He be? If you can't be led by the Spirit, you can't know Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can't know that. That's a spiritual experience. That is not a physical experience. It's something you have to come to in yourself, knowing Christ lives in you. The Holy Ghost, learning to come into the knowledge of the Spirit of God and learning to understand the Spirit, Christ became real in me. Christ became something real. I began to respond to that which in me by faith. And what I began to respond to me in faith became real. Hallelujah. Things when I first started off of trying to become sensitive in the Spirit, I've learned things I can pick up in the Spirit just really easy now. I can't. Why? It's by experience. The Holy Ghost made the things of the Spirit realm real to me. Hallelujah. When I think about myself anymore, I don't think about myself as a physical being. That ain't the number one thing in the chart. You know, most people, that's the number one thing. It's about all outward appearance. I've learned this over the years. That's why people have so much trouble with healing and all that stuff, because they're always looking at the outward. The outward, that's all they know is the outward. Outward, outward, outward. I found out a long time ago, healing came from the inside. If you want to get divine healing, you got to come in contact with the inside. Divine healing is comes from the spirit realm. It don't come from the physical realm. It doesn't live at the doctor's office at all. It's not down at the pharmacy. It's never been there. It's not bottled or put into something. It's never been there. But it's been in every Christian all the time. Divine healing's been in every Christian's body. But if you don't get led by the Spirit, you don't come in contact. You don't ever go to the spiritual pharmacy. You just keep going to the regular one. But it's inside of you. What? The Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you, what? Into the truth. Doesn't He? Well, I'm going to tell you, divine healing is the truth. And the Holy Ghost will lead you right into it. Lead you smack dab into it. Directly. Hallelujah. That's what He does. He bears witness that you're a child of God. And if you're a child of God, then you're an heir of God. A joint heir with Christ. If you're a child, see, you're a joint heir. See, these things have to become, the joint heir must become real to the church. The church has to come to the place where I see myself as a joint heir. See, if I look at myself in the flesh, it's like Mike said, you know, getting over in faith with the Word, you sin. You got to come over to faith in the Word that John 1 John 1:9 is real. If it don't become real to you, you ain't going no further. You know, you'll live in guilt. The Holy Ghost, His job is to take what belongs to Jesus and show it to you. He's the Word. The Holy Ghost will make 1 John 1:9 real to you, where you know that when you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It'll become real to you. It'll become real. It isn't something you're trying to believe. The day will come to you that you'll know it. And what happens is when you miss it, it won't be like years ago when you missed it and you'd go off and live for weeks, you know, feeling sorry for yourself and wondering if God wanted to talk to you anymore. You'll come to this place when you'll miss it. You'll immediately go to God and say, God, forgive me. I shouldn't have done that. I blew it. I blew it there, Lord. That's what it does to you. Because why? It'll become real to you that I can become righteous in an instant. God will wash me in the blood of Jesus. And hallelujah. All that's under. And the devil can run his mouth with his accusation and I can smile and walk away. Hallelujah. Yes. He'll say, you missed it. Say, I don't know about that. I'm righteous. You have to go to talk to somebody else about that. Say, I don't know about that sin. It ain't around. Would you show me the book it's in? Would you show me where that's written out? Would you like to get, maybe you could find a picture somewhere of it. No, I'm sorry, it's gone. See, you won't live under condemnation. See, the Holy Ghost wants that to become a reality, and really, it's only God's the only one who can make this stuff a reality. Man can't. I don't care how you study, how you like to make it real. It's God that makes it real to us. When we run into God, that changes everything. No matter how you wanted to live a good life, you could never be a good person till you accepted Jesus Christ. Why? God had to save you. God had to deliver you and make you a new person. It didn't change. You didn't get born again and now it's you on your own. And now you're going to make this thing work. No, you ain't. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, if God ain't in it, it ain't got a chance. It's just that simple. It's the grace. We talked about this grace. We have received grace, this wonderful grace that you and I received, seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's made us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It's given you and I the power of God to live this life. That's what it's done for you. You have the power of God. You look at yourself and you go, how am I going to do this? Just look and say, I'm not going to do this, but God is going to work in me and do it. That's why Paul made the statement. He wasn't being some religious idiot when he said, you know, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. You know, when Paul was just trying to say this, I finally come to my senses that I couldn't do this, but God will do it through me. I've been trying to work it on my own all this time. That's what he was saying. Now Paul knows, hey, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. When I come to the place to know that I can't do it, praise God, grace is going to put me through. I come to the place now where I'm ready to go over the top. See, when you come to the place that God, the things God told you to do and said to do, and you say, man, I can't do that. And you finally come to the place and say, hey, you know, God's going to work this one in me. Ah, you got a clue how this is going to go, but I'm going after it. Hallelujah. I'm going to rely on grace. God said so, so it's going to work. Hallelujah. God told me. See, I learned to do that concerning healing. See, I don't care how the body's getting. It don't matter what's going on. Hallelujah. God has already declared something, and it's true. I know it. I have experienced God, and it's true. No matter what the circumstances say, grace, the power of God is working in me. Grace is, if all you know is grace is unmerited favor, you ain't got a clue what's happening. Grace is the ability of God that works in man to cause man to live like God. That's what grace is. Grace ain't, well, I just got my sins forgiven. People who believe that always live like hell. People who believe that always live like hell. Glory to God. I don't want to live like hell. I want to live like heaven. Hallelujah. I want to live a better life. And grace of God was given to you to live a victorious life. To live a life. Hallelujah. That in the earth of Jesus told us to walk like He walked. He wasn't kidding. Hallelujah. He wasn't kidding about it. He didn't tell you, oh, walk like I walk best you can. No, because Jesus knew that the grace of God was, He was going to be raised from the dead. Heaven was going to throw grace into this earth. Hallelujah. And where sin abounds, grace will much more abound. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Don't preach me happy. Wow. Grace is abounding today. We got a lot of sin around, don't we? Grace must be big. Hallelujah. I saw it. See, Bill said, oh, things are getting so bad. My God, there must be so much grace, it's phenomenal. Hallelujah. Because man sure has, they're sure ganging up to sin. Hallelujah. They're lining up trying to figure out more ways to sin. Glory to God. But grace, don't you think about this. No matter how sinful or what man does out here, it's still impossible that grace wouldn't work to save the person. They can get as evil as they want. Face, I accept Jesus, no matter all that evil be washed away in a second. Hallelujah. The power of God. The power of God. Hallelujah. Well, we are believers. That grace will work in you so you can enjoy the blessings of God. So God's blessings are not for, well, when things get good, when the economy approves, then the grace will start working. And when this happens or that goes around and we get the right guy in office, I'll tell you what, I've been having a better life since Obama's been in office than I had before. You know why? Trusting God more. Had a better life. I think things are going better for me. I don't know, these people talk about, you know, bad things going in their life. I see a lot of bad happening in others. I see a lot of rotten stuff going on. But I tell you, it's better for Ed. They're probably going to soon get mad about that. But I'm sorry. Grace abounds. Grace abounds. Grace abounds. Grace abounds. Hallelujah. It's getting better. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I ain't going to talk no different. The word's the same. Hallelujah. I'm hanging out with Caleb. I ain't going around with the rest of the spies. I've heard the news. I ain't running along the rest of them. I'm going to tell you what. There ain't no giants out there that grace can't knock them out. Hallelujah. Grace is big. And I'll tell you what. There's still a fruitful land. And I'm going to have the fruit of the land. I don't know what the rest of them are. I ain't going to let the giants keep me out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I ain't no grasshopper. Hallelujah. I ain't no grasshopper. I'm a child of God. I'm seated in heavenly places. You mess with me, you'll mess with God. Not a smart thing for people to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's you too. You're a child of God. So I hope that was, you know, just encourage you a little bit there. Hallelujah. Lord, you're a joint heir with God. Hallelujah. You're an heir of God. Joint heir with Jesus Christ. How could it get any better? Talking about lacking one. Dear Lord, I'm a joint heir. I'm a co-heir with Jesus. Actually, some translations say it. They say that's the correct way it should be said. I don't know. I don't read enough Greek to know about it. I have enough trouble with English. They say it should say co-equal. It's a co-equal heir with Jesus Christ. A co-equal. Hallelujah. Well, you know, it must be true. You would, if I didn't have a co-equal heirship with Jesus, I couldn't sit on the throne. You can't sit on the throne if you aren't co-equal with it. If you wouldn't be equal, how could you sit in His seat if you weren't equal to it? See, most Christians, if you don't know the Holy Ghost, you'll never know you're co-equal with Jesus. You'll always think, my God, yeah, He did all them nice things for me, but, you know, I guess I'll get 10%. I might get 10% of it, but I can't have everything he got. No, I can't. No, I can't live that kind of glorious life. You know, we can't do that. No, well, maybe 3%. Oh, if I just got 3%, I'd really be happy. You know, it'd really be a good life. Good life, just 3%. But see, we live like that. We think that way. We don't think of ourselves being equal. Do you ever think Jesus Christ made you equal with him through faith? Now, you get stoned in churches for preaching this. Now, you watch these people you talk to out there. You go to your family that believes this other stuff. They'll stone you immediately. They'll get the rocks right out and knock you out. Boy, that's just hours. Don't worry about God. Will raise you from the dead. You go back to town. You preach it to them again. <laughs> You know? <laughs> Don't worry about it. But they will. They'll think blasphemy. You know, and they do. Because if you've just been taught religion and you believe it all your life. But see, that's what happens. It's the same junk comes along. And it ain't nothing but that Antichrist spirit that operates to get people to believe things. You're not what the Bible says. Oh, it's all nice stuff in there for you. Oh, yes. They're cute words. Cute words in there to make you feel better while the devil eats your lunch. You know, makes you feel significant while you're being run over by the, you know, the tractor trailer. Yes, I did have a good life, and you know, my last 20 years will be bad now since I'm getting run over. But you know, God does really love me. Well, I know, because He sent the truck. You get into that kind of thinking, but really, that's antichrist. Anything that opposes the truth of Christ is antichrist. Anything that opposes the truth of Christ is antichrist. It's against Christ. It's against the Word. You know, I don't want to go against the Word. You know, what God has given me, I don't care if I'm not walking in it. I ain't going to lie and tell somebody God didn't give it to me. That's my problem, to get this straightened out and get over walking in it. It's not God. God gave it to me. I'm going to confess it and say it's so. He did what He did. See, know what? Nobody's going to tell me God's making me sick. I'm sorry. I already read the Bible. I don't care what happens to Ed. The Word is always true. If Ed messes up, that's one thing. But the Word is always true. It's true. Because I'm not going to oppose Jesus at the same time trying to get Him to do something, speaking against Him. That's where people miss it. That's where people miss it. Hallelujah. Well, we ain't missing it there. I want to read a scripture to you today. I'm going to get to another one we didn't go to here. I just know. In Proverbs, the 20th chapter, I want to read one scripture here. Brother Hagin used to use this scripture a lot, and it's very good. It's a good scripture. I mean, you want the Holy Spirit to reveal this scripture. It needs to become. It's a very, you know, simple statement. But this simple statement is a wonderful revelation. If you get a hold of it, it's a wonderful revelation, and that's why you want this to become real to you. You want to experience this. Proverbs 20:27 says, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart." It says, "What the spirit of what man? The spirit of man." This is important. If God leads us, we are supposed to be led for the Spirit. How am I supposed to be led by the Spirit? Through my Spirit. The Spirit of man. That's how He leads you. Through your Spirit. You are a Spirit being. That has to become a reality to you. Most people, as I said before, view themselves totally as physical people. If you do that, you're never going to walk over into areas of the supernatural. You're not going to go there. This supernatural is the place of the Spirit. Supernatural takes things that take place is when you get over into the area dealing with spiritual things. You want to touch into the spiritual. You do that. You need to recognize yourself as a spirit being. You have to see yourself in that way. If you view yourself as a physical being, well then, when you die, this is why people feel hopeless. They have nothing but focus on the physical and they die. You can't have a greater surety in death if you focused on the outside all the time, because that's what you're going to experience. You're not going to be looking. You have not come in contact with the spirit realm. Even though when you die, you'll go into it, but you'll go into it ignorant. God has never intended. I'm going to tell you, heaven's real to me. Heaven's a place when I step and leave this life, I can tell you exactly what's going to happen to me. I know. That's why I don't say this. I'm not trying to be, say I'm anything. But I'll tell you what, many times when people I know, Christian brothers and sisters die, I really feel envious of them. I literally feel envious. These people scratching for life all the time, I don't get it. It's like, dear Lord, the realm of the Spirit is real to us. God leads us. We're spiritual beings. The realm of the Spirit should be natural to us. That's what the Holy Ghost will do it, where the realm of the Spirit becomes natural to you. This is why faith is of the Spirit. Faith is of the heart or of the Spirit. That's why faith will become real to you. Most Christians' faith is not real to them because they're not tied to the Spirit realm. Faith is of the Spirit. That's where it operates. It don't operate in the natural realm. Faith never operates in the natural realm. It manifests in the natural, but it never operates in the natural. It operates out of your heart. It takes place. Your faith produces things in the unseen realm that manifest into the seen realm. See, that's why people they want to have to feel something. They want to have to, man, you learn to operate over there, you'll feel something. You learn to get over there, you can have the feeling. The feeling will come. The well body will come. But you get that over in the unseen realm, and you can come to the place where the unseen realm becomes so real to you, and you're so conscious of it that you will not be conscious of what's going on around you in the natural. When you see what's going on around you, your response will be, that's not the way it is. It's this way. Here's how it is. See, this is one of the things I can always tell when I'm over there and just have to keep confessing, and trying to say it. It ain't real to me yet. It ain't got real to me. It's real. You get over in that place of the Spirit and it becomes real to you. That's why you don't see Jesus. He didn't sit down around and beg demons to leave. He didn't tie a person to a chair and try to cast the devil all night out of somebody. Why didn't he do it? The realm of the Spirit was real. When he spoke words, he knew it had to take place. See, people do all that stuff and go through all those things because they're trying to naturally do something that requires spiritual things. They're trying to convince themselves. They're trying to convince themselves. I learned this a long time ago. Ed couldn't convince himself of much. I don't know about Ed sometimes. But I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost can convince you. The Holy Ghost can change what you are and the way you think. The Holy Spirit do that. The Holy Spirit can take a doubter and turn him into a believer if he learns to yield to the Holy Ghost. If you learn to get over and yield to the Holy Ghost, I tell you, faith will be a natural thing. There's faith in your heart. You're sitting here today, some of you, you have faith in your heart's never been released yet. You've kept it clammed up in you by your flesh, by what you see around you and what you, the whole time, and you're saying, well, I'm trying to believe. No, you ain't trying to believe. You're trying to operate over in the area of the flesh. If you looked over in your heart, you wouldn't try to believe at all. You'd say, my God, I believe it's true. You want to come see the Holy Ghost makes you conscious of the realm of the Spirit. It makes you conscious of your own spirit. You come in contact with your own inner man. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord or the light of the Lord. In other words, God enlightens us through our spirit. Our coming in contact with God is in the spirit realm, not in the physical realm. Things may manifest over into this realm. Sometimes we have manifestations of it in this realm, but it all starts in the realm of the Spirit. It all starts over on that side. It starts over in that side and manifests into this side. If you wanted to learn to work and cooperate with it, you got to be able to come over on the side of the Spirit and be conscious of it and know it. See, many times, I learned this one time from Kenneth Hagin years ago. He talked about an angel tried to appear to Kenneth Hagin and couldn't appear to him because he kept yielding over to the flesh. He was laying in a bed in a travel trailer. He was out with his family traveling and preaching. And he was somewhere up in either Oregon or Washington, some area. And he was laying in the bed in the afternoon in the trailer just praying. He was praying, not trying to be spiritual. He says, laying there, he said he was resting some for the night meeting he had. And he was resting some and he said he'd sleep some and pray some. And he said he got a sense, he thought he heard something. Now, you need to know this. Sometimes you can get over in the area of the Spirit. I've had this happen to me. I hear a sound in the Spirit, but it seems so real to me, I thought it was in the natural. And I would go look to try to find where the sound was, and it wasn't anything natural. I heard it in the inside. I heard it on the inside. what I was hearing. See, you can get so sensitive, you'll hear things sometimes on the inside of you, you'll think it happened around on the outside. It never happened around on the outside of you. You'll think it's free. And see, he heard something, and he went and got up out of bed and walked around looking through the trailer. He did this. Three times this angel tried to get in contact with him, and he turned around and acted in the natural on it. Here was some time later, the Lord spoke to him about it. Something happened, came along. The Lord said, you know, an angel tried to come and tell you that, but you got over in the natural about it, and he couldn't show himself to you. See, all that dumbness, people, well, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. An angel, you'll learn to walk by faith. There's a lot of things God wants to do for you and now you'll never experience. And he's trying to do for you. There's people, God wants the angels to show up, but they stay in such unbelief it can't happen. When I heard that as a young Christian, I thought, man, this is different. I heard things. God told him, said, an angel tried to, but every time he did, you got over the natural and he couldn't do that. He couldn't show himself to you. I thought, dear Lord, I'm lucky if I ever get anything happening to me. I get over the flesh all the time. I said, Lord, help me. I need help, help. Well, I knew I needed to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. And I've learned over time, there's times that God was trying to reveal himself to me. And when he would, I started responding into the natural. And things would stop. And then I'd get another time, I'd get over in the spirit, and I'd try to come back again. But I would start responding to things in the natural. We have to watch that. We have to learn and develop. You know, it's part of just developing, you know. It's just like having a child in the natural. Babies, you know, and children respond to things, sometimes don't know how to respond to certain things because they immaturity. Well, spiritually, it's the same way. We can be spiritually immature, don't know how to respond to things. God's trying to respond to us. God is trying to reveal himself to us through our spirit. That's where his light, that's where the light of God comes. That's what lights us up. You need to understand that. The revelation of God don't come through your mind. It comes from inside of you. It comes from your spirit. The Holy Ghost living in you gives you revelations of things. See, this is one thing is I had to learn this because I would get revelations. They'd be contrary to what I ever thought of the Word. They'd be contrary. And sometimes the Holy Spirit would have a hard time getting me to respond to it because of what everybody else has preached on it or everybody else has said. But when I would finally go over and yield to the Holy Spirit, He'd take me to Scripture after Scripture to show me that what they were preaching wasn't right. That it's this way. And she'd show me Scripture after Scripture. And I found out where people are preaching things and saying stuff and we just accept it. But scripturally are not so. We'll always desire to lead you into the truth. That's what he wants to do. You know, so I'd get over what it would happen. In my spirit, I'd pick up a revelation, but I would really go over to my mind of what I knew. What happened? Shut it off on the inside of me. I wouldn't hear anymore. Going on down in here, now I'm over. I'm letting my mentality take over. Well, that couldn't have been God. This is what I know. You know. I've stayed over in my mind in things where I sought God for answers sometimes on things for a year or more. Not getting any kind of answer, getting nothing. And then find out the reason I didn't is because I kept responding to God out of my mentality rather than out of my inner man. And as soon as I got over in the spirit about it, I got my answer. And I thought, oh, Ed, you're an idiot. He's been trying to prompt that in you for how long? I've gotten senses of that, but I didn't pay no attention to it because it wasn't what I was thinking. So I ignored it. And it kept getting turned off to me and turned off to me. Finally, I got myself in a position where I was willing to listen. And when I heard, I got my answer. Hallelujah. And many times that's what God's doing with us. And that's why you and I need to become spiritual conscious. The first thing that we need to come in contact with is that we are spiritual beings. It's like Brother Hagin, I thought, you know, it was really good. He said, you know, I'm a spirit, you know. I have a soul, or I have a soul and a body. In other words, I live in a body. I am a spirit being. That's what I am. I am a spirit being. See, Paul never referred to himself from the physical standpoint as who he was. Paul said it's better he departs and goes to be with Christ. He'd depart. He said he departs. Well, a person body don't depart when they die. Their body stays here. Your body ain't departing. One day it will, you know, when Jesus comes, but it won't be the body that died. But understand this, see, if you view yourself, when a person dies, their body, when we talk about death, the person didn't die, their body died. Do you know if your home burnt today, they don't go tell people and say, you know what, you hear, my clothes are burnt to death today. He did? What happened? His house burnt down. You see how you view it? See this appeal. Well, you know, so and so died. No, they didn't. Their body died. Their body died. Their physical body died. They didn't die. I don't care if it's a sinner or a saint. Nobody dies. Spirits are eternal. Whether Christian, eternal life does not mean living forever. It has nothing to do with that. Eternal life is having the life of God. There are two different kinds of people in this earth. One of them have the life of God and the other ones have the life of the devil. I started out surely with the devil's life. I had that one, I know. But I got the life of God. I now have eternal life. It's not something that's going to happen someday. I know I pass from death unto life because I have the life of God, not because I'm going to get it. Eternal life is God's life. I got that. There's two kinds of people. The people with God's life, their spirit, when they die, goes off to heaven. And the people who don't, their spirit goes with their father, the devil. Goes to hell. That's where it goes. See, there's two types of people. That's it. Not any other kinds of people. So they do. You know, if you look at what Jesus talks about, the rich man and Lazarus dying, he said the bodies were buried. But we turn around and have conversations. We go through reading conversations. And those people are just as much alive. One was alive in Abraham's bosom and the other one's alive in hell. Their bodies died. But they didn't die. You need to have that consciousness and come to the place to know that you are a spirit being. I'm just going to tell you, if you don't come to that reality, you're going to always have a hard time being led by the Spirit. You're going to have a hard time with it. I know that for a fact. You must come and get the revelation that you're a spirit being because that's where God meets you. That's where God talks you. The Holy Ghost is indwelling in you and communicating with your spirit, talking with your inner man. He's revealing things to you, not to your body. He's revealing it to you. The Holy Spirit is in communion with you. Your body is not you. He's in communion with the real you, which is your spirit. He's communing with the part of you that is like God. Your body is not like God. God is not communing. God does not commune with the trees or the animals of the earth. God does not commune with any of them, ever. The spirit of man is the place where God communes. That's why we read in Genesis, in the first chapter, you don't have to turn it, but the first chapter, verse 26, it said, "Then God said, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness." Now we know this from Scripture. Up till the time that Jesus Christ, before His crucifixion, He spoke of man and He talked about man. He said, "What God is a spirit." God is a spirit, He said. Those who worship God, how do they worship? In spirit and truth. He didn't say they worship through singing songs and how they do. You can sing songs and never be in the spirit. You can sing and do whatever you want. You can do it for 50 hours a week and whatever else you want to do. Never be in the spirit. He said in spirit and what? And truth. In other words, what is true or in light of truth? Spirit and truth. You know, there's loads of songs people sing. I mean, loads of them today. Some of these songs they write, dear Lord. Some of the what they call the top 10 ones, they can be the. You can go ahead and sing them all you want, but they ain't going to do nothing for you spiritually. You know, it's name that tune. That's all it is. It has more to do with the beat than it does. It has to do with God. You know, I remember they used to knock all the old hymns all the times, and I'll tell you, there was a lot of sorry old hymns. There was a lot of stuff that would turn around and put you in unbelief. But I'm going to tell you what, there's just as much sorry other stuff out there today they call worship. Because I'm going to tell you, if all this stuff really worked and took people someplace, the church would be a lot better off than they are today. Let's just get it down to where it's real. And so, but the whole thing of it is, I contact God. It's just like you can go to any service to sit in the same service and worshiping God. Some people come in contact with God, where they worship in spirit and truth. Some don't. Some in their minds are running about all the stuff that's happening. They're trying to get themselves over. It's like these people say, well, you know, I just picture myself sitting with God. I don't have to picture. If I get into my spirit, I'm not trying to imagine anything. I don't have to go to imagination. It's real. We've brought too much mind into things. Telling people to try to imagine. The Holy Ghost will make the revelation of God in you so real. Man, you ain't gotta imagine it. God's with you. You're not trying to imagine yourself. I don't imagine myself sitting in heavenly places. I am. Why would I try to imagine? You know, that's like trying to imagine that car out there, that van out there belongs to me. It belongs to me! It has my wife and I's name on the title. We put the gas in and take care of it. We know it. I don't have to try to imagine driving it or imagine. You need to use your imagination. Yes, I did, and sin like hell, folks. My imagination took me places it should have never went. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, there's an imagination of the Spirit. There's a place to walk in the Spirit. There's a place in the Spirit that lets you see things that is far beyond your little comprehension of that peanut running around up in there and between your ears. It's like mine. That thing between my ears will do some of the dumbest stuff sometimes and think some of the craziest thoughts. Hallelujah. But you know what? My inner man never does. I have never come in contact with my spirit. My spirit's thinking any of those stupid stuff that was going on between my ears. Why? Because that's the place that's like God. That's the real Ed. That's the real Ed down there. Hallelujah. Born of God. Hallelujah. With the Holy Ghost communing with Him. Hallelujah. That's the place of sanity. You can't make it in this insane world without coming to this, because this is the place of sanity. Coming in contact with the inner man. Hallelujah. Who you really are. Man, you'll see yourself in this world, and you know that's why it removes fear from us. It does. It displaces fear. I don't have the spirit of fear anymore. Inside of me. Hallelujah. When fear tries to dominate my mind and my flesh, I turn to the inside. Most people are all, they're just trying to say words to try to calm the outside. Go to the inner man, the power of God. You get to the inside of you, you say, oh, you dumb flesh, you idiot. What on earth do you think you're doing? Ain't none of that going on out there. I'm secure. I'm safe. Hallelujah. I'm in Christ Jesus and Christ in God. I can't get any more secure than that. Hallelujah. You come to the inside. That's the place where the light of God, that's the place where the Comforter gives you comfort. He ain't comforting your flesh. His comfort is on the inside. See, we only think we're comforted when our flesh is feeling good. I'm only the Comforter's always comforting. He's always encouraging. He's always building up. He's always doing something good, folks. That's the Comforter. And He's there. And I had to learn that. You know, I keep trying to get it on the outside. That's why the Apostle Paul could get down into prison and write letters to people like, my God, we're just so over the top, this is incredible. How did he do that? Well, he couldn't have done it by looking at the fleshly situation. That guy turned the world upside down writing prisons out of jail. He did more out of jail than most Christians will ever do living free. Why? Because Paul always was free. What was going on in the outside never stopped the inner man. Paul was always in contact with the guy of who he really was, the real Paul. The real Paul wasn't that man locked up in jail. His spirit could reach nations of the earth. He could believe God from a prison and change a church. Everybody today, it's all about circumstances. It's always about circumstances. It's always about circumstances. You know, you got to come to the place. When I started coming in contact with my inner man, that's when I came to divine healing. I realized it. I realized always I was healed all the time. Divine healing's always operating in me. I just, before, had never released it. I never had ever operated in it. It was always there. It's like when Kenneth Hagin, after years of being born again, then he got filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, after I got filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, I realized I could have talked in tongues any old time I ever wanted to. I could have done it. You see, you come in contact with the inner man. You find out the inner man. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, when I stop the search of trying to get things, and I come to the place, you know, I'm seated in heavenly place. I'm so blessed. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. I'm not waiting to get blessed. And you're not waiting to get blessed. You are. You are. You come in contact with your inner man, you'll know it. Hallelujah. People would never say or do many things that we say and do if we would come in contact. The Holy Ghost is in there. God is wants to enlighten that. He's enlightened us through the inner man. Hallelujah. And I find many times I get over there, I get in the natural, and I come over and look to the inside. It's like somebody flipped a switch. It's like the light came on. Now the Holy Ghost can enlighten me. Now He can start to reveal to me. Hallelujah. Start to talk to me. I was glad I learned these things young. I was fortunate to have Kenneth Hagin's ministry and sit and listen to it. I'm glad. I mean, people would come to my house and he used to tell me, some of these Christians would tell me I need to be a little more versatile and have more selection of people I listen to. They used to tell me because he'd come to my house when I was a young Christian starting off and it was Kenneth Hagin stuff all over the place. You know, that's some other guy's stuff, but I mean, 90% of it was his tape, so you need to, you'll get weird listening to somebody else. Yeah, they wanted me to get sick like they are, be an idiot like they were, you know. Then I'm well-rounded, you know. You know, you just gotta get sick and go to the doctor more often, Ed. Something's wrong with you. You know, you just gotta, you know, Ed, you know, you don't worry enough. Is that a woman in a church? And I mean, she's supposed to be a spiritual lady in a church we used to go to, and Juan and I went to, and she told some people one time, she said there's something wrong with Ed because he don't worry. So there's something wrong with him. He's too happy all the time. He's too happy. Something wrong with it. Can you imagine? A spirit-filled Christian. Now, you can't convince me she was ever spirit-filled because she never have gotten contact with the Spirit. She'd have found out she'd have been happy too, but she lived in the flesh all the time. She's always living in the flesh. She'd find, you know what, you want joy? It's inside of you, but you got to come in contact with it. You know, if you want to eat a steak or you want to eat a, you know, a lobster tail, you can't eat it till you come in contact with it. You ever found that out in the natural? If you want joy and you want peace, we're singing about that today. It's there. I don't care how bad things are going. It's just like this morning. I go over here and I get singing over there. I'll get over in the spirit and I can't help but laugh. I can't help but laugh. Why? I get over in the spirit. I have joy. I have it. It's there. It's just we mask it with all what we do on the outside. We mask it with our problems and we mask it over and we make and get our mind running so much on the things on the outside, we don't listen to the inside. And so we feel down. I feel down in the dumps. You don't have to feel down in the dumps. You are. You're in the dump. Because that's where the mind will take you. The mind will take you to the dump. Your mind will take you to the places you never wanted to go. It'll haul you there. But the Bible talks about another mind. It says the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. There's two minds. You better start listening to the right one. There's the mind of the flesh and the mind of the Spirit. You get in the mind of the Spirit, you don't worry. Anytime a worry wants to come on me, I know where Ed's at. I know where he's at. He's been playing in the mind of the flesh. And he wants to get over in that place of life and peace. He needs to come over to the mind of the Spirit. I get over there, I think, yeah, but it's okay. Everything's going to be all right. My face is going to see me through. Praise God. As soon as I go back over, I get in the mind of the flesh again. I go, let's go play with that a while. Let's go over and look at the problem again. Or maybe I can discuss it with somebody and tell them and ask them to pray for me while I get to converse with them again what my problem is and how I view it. And then say, pray with me. Well, what's it going to be? Are we going to get the mind of the Spirit and pray in faith? Or are we just going to pray out of the mind of the flesh, which is evil, and just ask the devil to help us some more? You got to decide. You got to pray. Answered prayer comes from the mind of the Spirit. It don't come from the mind of the flesh. Answered prayer will not come from the mind of the flesh. Prayer is by faith. It's of the heart. That's the answer. That's where answered prayer comes from. Words spoken on what that inner man sees and what he believes. And then you begin to pray and you start to claim what God has given you and start to declare it as yours. Instead of declaring the sickness that belongs to you, you declare the health that belongs. This is mine. Health is mine. Ed Gibson's inner man, spirit, has never been sick one second. It had 30 years of that old one that died, but the new one has been always in good shape. I never got over in the spirit, and my spirit man was going, just a minute, I can't talk. He never did that. He never did, not right now, my legs bother me. He has never done that. Why? He's always been well. That's why people need to be very, very careful what they call inner healing. What people really talk about in inner healing is what a lot of people are messed up in. It deals with the soul, it's not the spirit. They keep trying to treat their spirit like it's sick, it needs fixed. Your spirit don't need fixed. It's born of God. You just got messed up thinking. Now that they talk about healing, but it isn't really healing, it's renewing of the mind. The Bible don't ever really talk about, you know, from the healing of the soul realm. It doesn't talk about from that standpoint the healing of it from this perspective of, you know, that I mean your spirit that it needs healed. It never does. It don't need healed. Your inner man needs healed. That's saying this: you're not born again. You don't have the life of God in you. Your inner man's sick. So you need to be careful how you talk about yourself and what you say. If you don't learn to do that, be careful in those areas. You're hurting yourself. You need to differentiate between the soul and the spirit. Now, this I know. My soul needs worked on. My soul needs worked on. My mind, will, and emotion needs worked on. That needs to be changed. That's what we constantly work on, is that man. But I want you to tell you, you can't ever effectively work on that man if it isn't through the Spirit. It is through your inner man is what really changes your soul. Memorizing, people want to memorize Scripture, go ahead. I've never memorized Scripture in my life. I've meditated on Scriptures till I got a revelation out of my inner man that changed the way I thought in my mind. But it comes from the inside. God enlightens you through the inside. It don't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. See, if you don't learn to operate in your spirit, you can sit and listen to good preaching, and it won't help you much. It won't do much for you, because you can listen to it with just your mind and not let your spirit hear it. And not respond. And not respond to it spiritually. See, people usually just do things from the natural. They just do it, the idea that if I sit and heard this, it's going to work. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I want you to think about this. I mean, back in the 80s, my words, people were seminared surely to death, weren't they? I mean, people went to seminar. Well, it really worked out well, didn't it? Now, some people, they listened with their hearts and they learned to develop more heart, but majority of people didn't. Majority of people just listened. They just thought, if I just keep going there and here, but they didn't understand how to operate in the spirit realm. They take the things of God and carry it out and walk and just make religion out of it. You know, I'm saying the right things, I'm a nice person, you know, we're doing all these nice stuff, but things don't work. So what the things the Bible talks about, the blessings of God with healing and things like that, they can't get it. They're always trying to struggle to work. They can't make things work, you know, from the financial side. And they're trying to make this and that. They can't get to work. Why? Because it's more over in the emotional realm is where they operate, and more over in the area of the mind thing. They don't know about the spirit. God enlightens us through our spirit. That's where I get revelations. See, God taught me, and you know, I would go out and run. God taught me about listening to my spirit. He did it through my military training and through things. I'd go running and stuff and that. Because one thing they would do, they would teach us in military training that you don't get over in the areas of reasoning in your mind. They would teach you principles to do in combat, things to do in combat. In other words, you run into a situation, this is what you do. What they would do is they would take you out, and here's one thing. If you don't learn to practice things and you don't do them, you'll never get a revelation on them. I want you to understand it. You will never get revelation on it. That's why a lot of people, healing's a problem to them, because they will never act on things. They're trying to get a revelation about healing without acting. Well, they would take us in the military. God showed me how they would take us out and train us. They would put us under combat situations, and they would force us to do certain things. They would make us totally uncomfortable. They would put you in situations where things, you know, were bad. They'd take you out, you know, it was like we had a Republic of Vietnam training before I went to Vietnam. And what they do is they take you out and you go through all the combat training and all that kind of stuff and things. And they didn't give you combat training. I was in electronics, you know. You know, these guys would say, oh, I know what they're training us this for. You know, I'm not going to be in that. They didn't care. They trained everybody. Why? Because the enemy could show up at your door one day. This is why most Christians are failures when it comes to things of God, because they think they're exempt from certain things. Well, I'm going to tell you, the devil shows up. I had days when the enemy showed up. So it was good to have the training. Well, God's used this stuff and started showing me what they did. They took us out in Georgia. Nice, wonderful, hot day down in Georgia. The humidity about 3,000%. That you walk outside and you just immediately start sweating. And what they do, they get you out there in the bush and then hit you with CS gas. Well, let me tell you, CS gas and moisture on your body, you know what it does? It feels like somebody just lit you on fire. And they would hit you with CS gas and you sweating out there and you're crawling in the bush and they got you in an ambush and they're shooting at you and they're telling what you're supposed to do. See, you've got to get your gas mask on, but you've got to keep moving ahead and shooting and, because if you're in and you get caught in a crossfire, the thing that you do is you head straight toward the people they're shooting at you because most people are going to die. Try to back out. You back out, you're a dead person. The only chance you have to live is go after them. So what you do? So here you are. You got to remember to do this the whole time. Your flesh is screaming at you. Saying, why don't you stop and I'm hurting. Don't you know that? Don't you know I'm burning up? You know, and you put on your gas mask. Now you got this nice little rubber gas mask you put over your face that you're looking out of, and it's really comfortable and nice. You don't sweat much in there. And now you got that thing rubbing on your skin where the CS gas is in there, and now that feels like your whole head's gonna go, because it's burning like crazy in there, right where the rubber rubs on you there. We're having a great time. You know, this is all for fun. You're all doing this. But they take you through these things and they do them over and over again to you till you get to the place where you automatically, when certain things happen, you just do it. You don't even think about it anymore. You just do what you're supposed to do. You just act out. Well, they want you to come to that place because when you get into combat, you don't have time to pull the Bible out to start meditating on scriptures. This is why most Christians fail. They don't fail, but they fail to train. That's their problem. They fail to train. And so you're guaranteed most of the time to fail when a situation comes because you failed to train. Trainings where you learn. God gives us situations to be in, and it's our training ground. And if we don't do it, when the devil comes with his attack, when he comes to do something, it's so you are ready to respond. Kenneth Hagin said this. The Lord spoke the same thing to me. He said to Kenneth Hagin, I allowed you to go through things that you went through so you could teach my people faith. And the Lord said to me about things that I went through. He said, I allowed you to go through so you could teach people faith. God, a teacher of faith is not a person who knows the scriptures on faith. They are not a faith teacher. It's a person who has experience in faith. You know, they would give us guys to train us. All of the sergeants and all the guys from the officers and everything that gave us Republic of Vietnam training were all people that had been in combat. They knew what to do. They didn't go say, hey, here's a lieutenant just out of West Point. Send them down there and he'll teach them about Vietnam. They didn't do that. Yet that's most ministers today. They ain't done nothing and never experienced nothing but faith. And big ones stand on TV and sometimes like I slap them on the head, they don't know nothing about faith. They never experienced faith. Mommy and daddy put them through college and they have lives and good lives and stuff, but they've never experienced nothing. They wouldn't know divine health. They couldn't get healed without a doctor for nothing. They can't teach the subject. They don't know anything. But see, it is through training, and God started saying, see what they did to you in training? God, you took over. I used to run a lot. And through running and that stuff, one of the things that I learned over time about running was what the things that they taught you like in the military. You can't focus on running. People that have trouble running any kind of distance have a hard time at it. The reason they have a hard time is not most of the time their body, it's their brain. It's what's going on between their ears while they're doing it. Your mind will defeat you. How you think in a situation is what defeats you. Running, I'm serious, running's at least 75% mental. Has nothing to do with it. You can't think about running when you run, it'll wear you out. The only thing you think about is your goal. There's what I'm going to be when I'm done. You don't think about when you're running up that hill and going, you don't think about that because that ain't your goal. Well, I run up because I had to run up this hill. Why? Because I got to get to that spot. The biggest thing is I have to get to that spot. That's where I have to go. It don't matter what happens in between. The important thing is to get to that spot. So body, just shut up. You're going to have to go out here and do this. So you might as well get over it. Quit griping about breathing hard because you're going to have to end up over here anyhow. God taught me things. He'd teach me this about running. He would tell me where I was supposed to run to. And He started to show me what He was doing. He didn't ever leave me a shortcut to get back home if I did wanted to quit along the way. Many Christians, that's the way they live their lives. Their lives is nothing but shortcuts. They won't ever really get out into faith. They'll never go out on the limb of faith where there's no place to go but me and God. There's always a plan B and a plan C and a plan something or call somebody and get them to... There's always a plan. See, God taught me. He trained me how to do. He started showing me from natural things how you had... This is what you got to do over in the spirit. This is what you got to become. You got to train yourself. They trained you for a purpose to be able to do something. They trained you for that purpose so you could become proficient. When I got to Nam, I found out that I thought they were just a bunch of mean, ugly men that didn't like me or they just wanted to torture people. Just, you know, they were having fun, you know, trying to make their jobs interesting because they were as bored as we were. But they weren't. You get over and you get into a combat situation, you get over into things, you thank God they told you what they taught you. Thank God you know what to do in a situation. Thank God stuff's happening and you know what to do. But see, that was because of training. And you need to start training. You need to let God take you through a training program. If you go over and learn to listen to the Spirit, He'll take you on a train. He'll train you. He'll teach you how. So when tough things come, you aren't getting the Bible out there and trying to quote scriptures. You'll stand up and say, "Hey, hold it, devil." You're quoting scriptures or you're looking at the Bible just to reinforce what you already know. You're doing nothing but feeding your inner man, just helping him stay strong. You ain't trying to feed your inner man to believe. If you're in that position, you're in a bad spot. It's like a guy out there in the military, and he's out there, and he's under fire, and he's wondering where his gun's at. I'm going to go find my ammo now. I'm going to go get that gun. Where's that gas mask today? They said there was a reason we all carry that. I wonder where that one's at. That's exactly what most Christians do when trouble comes. They're starting like they don't know anything. They start like, "I just got the basic training and I'm the idiot that got to get a haircut and got to get out there." And that's what they act like. Every time trouble comes, it's the same thing all over again. Trying to believe God. You can't do that. You got to come to the place you're believing God. When things are good, you should be in training. You know what they did with us in the military? When we weren't fighting, they were training us. I'm going to tell you what, you need to be a student of the Word 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You need to be a student of the Word. When times are good, you don't go out and just feed the flesh. There's nice, nothing wrong with vacations and doing things, but you can't spend your life doing that and then want to be spiritual when something happens. That ain't how it works, people. There's good days you need to just stay home and train your flesh to sit down and shut up and read some scripture. And sit down once in a while maybe and meditate on the Word of God a little bit once in a while. Well, I have my daily reading every morning, you know. I got my, woo, boy, you go, my God, you'll be a knockout. I'll tell you what, is reading my daily bread, you know. Oh, my God, the devil's scared to death now. I'm sure he's worried. Most people never come in contact with their spirit in the morning. They come in contact with breakfast and off to work. Read a few scriptures, but wonder what that meant. Hey, look, I'm not against reading. There's some really good stuff, but I'm going to tell you, you've got to be in the spirit for it to do anything for you. You don't get up, you know, these things are about being in the spirit. The Word of God's no good if you're in the flesh. It's about being in the spirit. That's for your inner man. It's the food for your inner man. It's not the food for your head. It's the food for your inner man. And see, if you'll let God train you, and I just encourage you in that, is allowing God to train you. Allowing God. Be a person. You know, God taught me that. God taught me. He said, you're always going to be a student of the Word. You know, I found this out. I left Bible school. I've done as much study as I ever did in Bible school. Why? Because I'm a student of the Word. I'm going to have to stay with this thing. I got to work with it. I don't have a choice. You know, there's a demand on me as a minister. I mean, it would stay in the Word. You better, you know, let God be able to move through you. There's one thing about it I had to learn over, especially in the areas that God told me to teach more by inspiration. And He's really been dealing with me on that. He's been talking because I do like line upon line teaching. I like to teach that way. I really do. I like systematic things in the Word, but God told me I got to stop that. He said, you got to get over it, you know, because he said, I want to say things. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we get over, listen to people teach, but they allowed God to say a thing. Why? Because God enlightens through the Spirit. There's things He wants to bring out and the Holy Ghost wants me to say, and it'll only come to my spirit. And I got to yield to it and let Him say that. And they don't always think when I'm done sometimes, you know what my flesh says? Why'd you say that? You shouldn't have said that. You should have been more kind about that one thing you said. I said, my flesh? It'll go away and say that. And my inner man says, oh, shut up. I don't know about you. There's a war going on out here. And if you want pampered, you're going to be one of the dead in a body bag. I'm just going to tell you. You're going to end up in the body bag. The devil is killing and stealing and destroying. He ain't putting Ed in a bag. Ed will leave this earth by his choice or by Jesus' coming, and it ain't going to be any other way. Hallelujah. I ain't fallen in the conflict. Glory to God. It's not in the plan of God, and I want the plan of God for my life. The devil ain't going to get no glory out of me leaving. It's going to be God. Hallelujah. God will be glorified. You know, go home at an old age, not go home before time. Ain't nothing matter than dying. I mean, Paul said, man, I want to get out of here. Well, I'll tell you, I do too. But it ain't going to be on the devil's choice. It's not on the devil's choice. Hallelujah. I got a daddy that's between me and him. Hallelujah. We got a family. I just encourage you. I'll tell you what. Become a soldier. Become a soldier. You'll do it by your own decision. Decide, I'm going to train. Hallelujah. I'm going to be a spiritual giant. Hallelujah. I always like kind of thing. You say, my God, he said, on the inside, I'm 10 times bigger than I am on the outside. Hallelujah. I used to think that's what I want to become. Hallelujah. But see, you know what? I look on the inside, I'm a lot bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. I'll tell you, my inner man is the real Ed Gibson is a formidable foe in the realm of the spirit. I'll tell you, I can get like a tiger on. My spirit will get a hold of things on the inside, and I'm going to tell you what, I can get very aggressive in the realm of the spirit. I can get very aggressive. Hallelujah. And you know what? The devil knows it too. I can get very aggressive on the inside. And I found out I should do that more often. Get very aggressive on the inside. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.